Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenbloom.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the ninth floor, but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He once connected my dots and more to my plate. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote.
Stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Apologize. What is your name? I don't know who you are, the host.
Steve Rosenbloom. Welcome back to Saturday Suckage. It's been a minute, people. I'm here. Let's find out who else is here on Saturday Suckage. Let's take roll. Grobber.
It sucks and it freebases.
Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Eloy Jimenez.
Hey, you guys not going to make anyway. You guys suck. And when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the suck team.
Toby!
Oh my God, this sucks!
Random Bears fan. Timber!
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
Liam Hendricks!
I wouldn't say seeking perfection, it's just mainly trying not to suck.
Julie Swyka.
Man, that sucks.
Wilson Contreras.
Losing suck, I tell you that, and that's all I can say.
George Went.
We had fun, but there you go. I sucked.
Garth Algar.
Get it off, man! Get it off! It's sucking my will to live!
The legend Steve Dahl.
Disco sucks! Disco sucks!
Candace Parker.
I mean, it sucks.
Roquan Smith.
Yeah, man. Sucks.
Zach Levine.
It sucked to have a game one.
DeMar DeRozan.
You know, it just sucks.
Mike Dam Tomlin.
It all sucks. It's not degrees of suck. It all sucks.
Josh Allen.
Sucks. Losing sucks. Sucks.
Pete Fairbanks.
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck.
AJ Pearson.
They should have just come out and said, hey, we're going to suck this year. And everyone would have been like, okay.
Pedro Grifol.
We're 20 games in. Our record sucks.
Michael Kopech.
It sucks, man. There's no easy way to put it.
Mark Burley.
So it did suck.
JD Martinez.
They say we suck. Let's suck. Let's go suck together.
Let's go have fun sucking.
Bob Costas.
I also don't understand, or maybe I should just applaud you for having the self-confidence to label your own show Saturday Suckage.
Sean Sears.
What's up, Rosie?
I am groovy.
Yeah?
I am so groovy, I could teach it, dude.
I don't even know what that means, man, but I'm here for it.
Welcome back to Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. Phone number at the Score, 312-644-6767. That number also gets you to our text line. Again, that's 312-644-6767. No, 6700. 312-644-6700. I have not even started the show. And 217 texts in, Stevie Sunshine, good morning. I shall spark up in anticipation of some quality suckage. 217 Ben. Now, Sean, are we able to determine whether that's Ben Rosen? Is that I don't know which Ben that is. 217 Ben. I just want to check that out.
No one will know. I guess we'll remain nameless.
309 texter. Glad to have you back for drafting Cubs thoughts, Steve. Michael in St. Louis. Michael's a Wake and Baker. We got some Wake and Bake stuff going on later. And I do have draft stuff, draft thoughts. I will have draft guests on. Patrick Finley in a couple minutes. Mark Grody at noon. And Mark Gonzalez, a blasto from the pasto. Our deluxe baseball guest was writing baseball this week in the Sun-Times, and we're going to talk to Gonzo. I shouldn't say we. That's the editorial we, the royal we. No, it's I. We'll talk to Gonzo, and he will talk to me, and we will share information with you. But first, let me start this. Two greatest words in sports are Turris Carnivorous. No, wait. Game seven. There are two today, tonight, and two tomorrow between the NBA and the NHL. Four game sevens this weekend. Steve Kerr took advantage of a blowout in game five. All right, I get my guys rested for game six. All right, well, game six didn't go down the way it was. The Rockets were down 3-1 at one point in that series, and it looks like they figured them out. So it's game seven tomorrow in Houston, and maybe the Rockets don't miss like 400 shots in a row this time. Last night on the ice, the dreaded, annoying St. Louis Blues are really taking it to a great goaltender and a great team. There will be a Game 7 in Winnipeg tomorrow. Goalie Connor Hellebuyck was pulled after he gave up four goals. He's been pulled in every road game. Every game in St. Louis, Connor Hellebuyck got pulled. So now he's going home. They were the President's Trophy winners. Will need a Game 7 win over the Blues to continue their run. Those are tomorrow. Game 7 tonight. Clippers at Nuggets. This is from Optostats. Clippers coach Tyronn Lue is 4-0 in Game 7s. The only other coach in NBA history with at least that many Game 7 wins without a loss is Red Auerbach at 8-0. Kids, ask your parents. Tyronn Lue, Red Auerbach, always spoken of in the same sentence. And in the NHL, the Lanch and the Stars, Game 7. And Nathan MacKinnon of Colorado, 6 goals in the first 6 games. That's your best player being your best player. But get a load of this. If you thought the Tyronn Lue thing was weird and amazing, Stars coach Peter DeBoer is 8-0 in Game 7s with different franchises. 8-0 in Game 7s. I don't know if you'd bet that. We don't have anyone from BetMGM Live at BetMGM Tonight on to ask about that, but it's a thing. And there is a series on Amazon. I have it bookmarked. I've not gotten around to it. Maybe you have. Maybe you out there in fellow suckageers have seen it. Now, I haven't seen it because me and the Otter were, we were binging The Crown, A Discovery of Witches, Madam Secretary, and now Designated Survivor. Have you seen that, Sean? Have you ever seen Designated Survivor?
I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's where Jack Bauer's nerdish brother runs the country. That's what it is.
Okay.
But that's not why you called. So Amazon Prime series is called Game 7, appropriately enough. And it's a deep dive into some Game 7s. And what a great collection. Of course it includes the Cubs. Game 7 in Cleveland, 2016, rainy night. But they also have, one of the games is Gretzky's Oilers against Keenan's Flyers in 1987. In that series, with the Oilers going up 3-1, Keenan stole the Stanley Cup. The Stanley Cup was in the building. It had to be in the building because the Oilers could win it. Keenan stole the Stanley Cup and brought it into his locker room. And he put it on the table in the middle of the locker room and he said, guys, this is what you're playing for. And they went out and buzzed the Oilers. So it was 3-2. And then Keenan stole the Stanley Cup again. Put it right in the middle of the locker room. Guys, this is what you're playing for. This is what you could hold up at the end if you do this. And they buzzed the Oilers. So by game 7 in Edmonton, the Oilers had figured out what was going on and they guarded the Stanley Cup. And then they won it in the third period. The Oil won the Stanley Cup then. These Game 7 shows are great. I've not seen it, and I want to see it. It's bookmarked. I'm looking forward to it. Tonight, you got two Game 7s, one in each sport. And tomorrow, again, two Game 7s, one in each sport. It's a terrific weekend. You know what would make a terrific weekend? Is talking Bears draft. Can we do that with Patrick Finley? Sean, do we have that? Are we?
Well, hold on. Let me make the correct arrangements here.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
Last time Patrick Finley was here to that music, he did a power ranking of Golden Girls. I love that. I'm sorry we did not bring that back. Patrick Finley, thank you for joining me today. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How about you?
I am groovy. I'm so groovy I could give lessons. Patrick Finley is now joining me on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. You wrote after the draft, the day after the draft, and it put into words how I was feeling. I don't know what response you got, but you had written... Yeah, I want you to share more with the class, but you had written that it seemed anticlimactic when they chose the tight end, did not make a move for a tackle, did not find a way up there. They were hurt in part that Shedeur Sanders wasn't chosen in the top 9, which would have loosed somebody for them. But you wrote it was anticlimactic, so share with the class your reasons why.
They went into the draft needing a tackle and a running back, if you wanted to be cute about it. And a tight end, kind of in that order. And the fact that 3 out of the first 9 picks that went were tackles that the Bears would have happily taken. And then the fact that Ashton Jeanty went to the Raiders at 6, it kind of left them with 2 tight ends to choose from. And, you know, the one they chose was not necessarily the more popular of the two. The one they chose is coming off of shoulder surgery. You know, the one they chose is a very specific flavor, and it just felt... You know, maybe it's a result of, you know, the draft industrial complex building it up over 2 to 3 months. And maybe it's a result of the fact that the Bears took the number 1 pick in the draft last year. But it just kind of felt a little underwhelming when the mid pick.
Okay, so that's the first round. You wrote that coming out of day 1. By the time you were writing, considering it at the end of the weekend and now later, what are your thoughts on what they did in the second round? Got a little bit better, and I mean, at least as far as the number of picks they had, and then by the end of the draft, what did you think of their class?
Boy, I would have really liked if they'd come away with a running back who wasn't a 7th round pick. The tackle from Boston College, I think he's a right tackle more than a left tackle. So, you know, in that sense, they didn't solve either of those problems, and that has to be a little disappointing. And I think in a perfect world, you know, there's a tackle available when they pick in the first round, and there's a running back available when they pick in the second. And as it turned out, you know, a tackle goes right before them, and then the running back goes right before them in the second round. So they played the board, and I think they played the board pretty well. I just think that Bears fans were hoping that they would maybe force the issue a little more by moving around.
Patrick Finley is my guest. He covers the Bears for the Sun-Times. We're talking Bears football, Bears draft here on Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The tackle from Minnesota, left tackle from Minnesota, was also still on the board. And then he made the moves he made after he selected Burden. I'll get back to Burden in just a moment. He sort of traded down, but then he traded up. Traded down initially on the front end and then traded up to get out of the third round. And I think the best thing Ryan Poles ever could do is trade out of the third round, never make another third round pick. But the players they drafted there, including a left tackle, and I realize it's all subjective, and maybe the guy from Minnesota is better or is worse, or they had a different view of him than the guy they took from Boston College. What do you know about that? What do you think about the way they played that?
I thought the Minnesota kid was probably the last true left tackle available there, but they obviously didn't agree. And, you know, it's going to be interesting because now, you know, now when you're bringing Ozzie in, you have Darnell Wright, who can move from right to left. Boy, try saying that 10 times fast. But he can move from right to left, you know, with Braxton Jones out. Fact is, Braxton Jones is still recovering from ankle surgery. You know, what they do next month when they get together for more OTAs, like, or later this month, like, I don't know if it'll matter. I mean, if Braxton Jones is out, you're just kind of making do without him. And then the real decision, I think, is going to come right before training camp when they have to decide, you know, whether Darnell Wright's going to stay on the right side and they're going to let Braxton start again or at least give him the first chance, or whether they're going to want to move stuff around. Because if they move Darnell Wright to left tackle, you know, that's bad news for Braxton Jones. He's probably their swing tackle then going into the season.
I would hate to see them do that. Football, smart football people that I've talked to long have spent time saying, don't make two positions worse when one's already bad. If your left tackle position is bad because you've got a broken down guy who can't anchor and you've got a rookie who hasn't played that position for a couple years, you know you can give the rookie some help somehow. Leave your right tackle behind whom you can run, and Ben Johnson likes to run. So I would think they would be loath to do, I would hope they would be loath to do that. I don't know what, if you've seen this before from them, or if you've heard Ryan Poles talk about why make two positions worse when one's bad enough. Have they dealt with that issue?
Yeah, he said a version of that, which is you don't want as many, you know, you want as few moving parts as humanly possible, just because you want to, you know, you, even if one is not ideal, you don't want to set the other four up to fail. And you're asking if they've done this before. You know, I think back to when they drafted, I believe it was Kevin Jenkins, and this was a different regime, obviously. But Charles Leno got cut right away. And I think the next day. And, you know, Charles Leno, for all of the complaining Bears fans like to do about him, he was fine. And he was perfectly serviceable. And, you know, I think that way about Braxton Jones, too. I think he's a great development story. I think the fact that you found him on day three from this tiny little college and developed him into a solid NFL player is a really cool story. And I think that, you know, if he's your left tackle for this season, fine. I think you'll probably be fine. You know, the question then becomes, are you going to pay him like a left tackle when his contract's up at the end of the season? And if you're not going to do that, then you're going to be back where you found yourself this offseason, which is looking for a left tackle, unless you develop, you know, whether it's Amagaji or whether it's Ozzie from Boston College behind him during the course of the season.
I have, I'll go into it at length later on, but I had a flashback to last year's draft, and looking at it, the aerial photograph of last year's draft where Ryan Poles went for the pretty shiny thing that was going to help Caleb Williams. Hey, we got him another weapon. Look at this. Roma Dunze. Here we are. And there was nobody, there was no security, nobody to block for him. That was not taken care of first. Protect this guy. Then you can worry about weapons. If you protect this guy, he may only need one. Heck, Justin Fields had a career day just throwing to DJ Moore against Washington. But the consent to let Ben Johnson, like, make the first two picks. That's clearly what this looked like. And I get it, Ben Johnson would want that. In some ways, a general manager needs to coach-proof the team. And he still needs a left tackle, whatever Ozzie Trapillo turns out to be. But in those two positions, in those two picks, it looked like they went for the pretty shiny thing. And I don't know how Caleb Williams, how secure he might feel after what he went through. He saw this last year. Do you see any similarities?
There's some similarities. I'd feel more outraged by it if, like I said, if those three tackles hadn't all gone in the first nine picks. You know, the Texas tackle going to the Saints at nine, I think was surprising to a lot of people. And had he not gone there, I'm not sure that he wouldn't have been the Bears' choice. So, you know, I would argue more the idea of, you know, does it really hurt you to move up one spot in a bad draft to make sure you get the guy that you want? That would be, I guess, my criticism of it. I think it's easy to sit there, and I'm guilty of this too, and say that, oh, it's a Ben Johnson pick. Like, you know, Ryan Poles and his staff spend all year working on the draft. You know, I think it's a little insulting to the process to presume that the coach just sits there and goes, give me that, you know, because that's not what it was. But you're right. It does feel a little bit like last year when, you know, they're adding skill position players. I think the difference, though, is that, you know, this offseason, they got a starting center. They traded for two starting guards. They did go a lot further in trying to fix their, you know, problems on the offensive and defensive line than they did at this point last year.
I think you're right, and I think the center is the most important guy on the line. I think teams are coming around to that, and I don't know if that minimizes the chaos or questions at left tackle. Around the NFL, there seems to be a growing, not just we saw where New Orleans did it with Drew Brees and make the guard center guard. If you protect up the middle, you're going to give your quarterback a better chance. We care less about the left tackle. Is that the way the Bears are moving, or the way they're forced to move, given the position uncertainty?
I think them investing in a center is something they haven't done in a long time.
Yeah.
Whether it's through, you know, draft picks or whatever. I mean, Sam Mustipher was, you know, a late round choice. Ronis Grisdu, you know, Cody Whitehair, you know, was the second round pick, but they moved him around. I mean, he was a tackle in college, who played guard and center in the NFL. So them devoting the kind of money they did to bring in Drew Dolman, I think, is a statement that they haven't made in a while. I'll also tell you this. The reason the Saints did what they did was because their quarterback was short. Caleb Williams is short. We can say a lot of things about his skill set, but Caleb Williams is not going to keep growing. So protecting your, you know, 6'1"-ish, 6'1.5"-ish,
yeah,
quarterback by giving him a center and two guards, I think is the Saints' way of doing it, and I think that is intentional on their part.
And I guess if you were looking at Ozzie Trapillo and going, wow, a second rounder is going to be there. Drew Dolman, the guy they paid for, the guy they dreamed of getting, he was a fourth round pick. I mean, you could find mm-hmm. them there. It's not impossible. But for the second round pick, I want to get back to Luther Burden before I let you go. And I appreciate your daddy devotion is why we're doing this. Let me get you out of here. But the guy that maybe he becomes a star because of his speed. Maybe he becomes a favorite. I don't know where this goes. What's blue sky, or what do you expect with a guy who's used to being the centerpiece in college, and now there's DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, Colston, another draft pick around ahead of him, and from what you make of this guy who seems to be all energy and all danger to defenses around the league, what do you think happens with Luther Burden?
Luther Burden and I share an alma mater, so I've seen a lot of Luther Burden over the years on TV. I'm going to try and take my Missouri Homer hat off. But just to say that I feel like I know a lot about him, you know, and I knew a lot about him coming into the draft. I think that the blue sky best case scenario is that he's diet Debo Samuel. Does that make sense? Something like that? And a guy who you can get the ball to near the line of scrimmage and is just a violent, nasty runner with the football. Now, what's interesting about that is that's kind of what DJ Moore is, too. And, you know, maybe there's a little bit of crossover there between the two skill sets. I think he's a really good player. I think that If you had sat down and asked any college football fan 2 years ago, hey, Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, and Luther Burden, what do you think about that in the NFL? Their head would explode. I mean, they'd sit there and be like, what, do the Bears have three top 10 picks to spend on these guys? Luther Burden 2 years ago was one of the best receivers in football and would have been a top 15 pick, I think, had he come out. But he just couldn't because he was a sophomore. So I believe in the skill set there. Now, I think the challenge is a pretty big one. The challenge is that Luther Burden, everywhere he's ever been his whole life, has been the centerpiece of the offense. He has been the most important player at Missouri. For 3 years, he's the greatest recruit they ever had. He's been, obviously the centerpiece in high school. And now he's showing up at a place that on day one, he might be priority number five, maybe six. he might not even be the top priority at the slot position, because really Colston Loveland, really, when you think about it, is probably a slot receiver if you really want to get technical. So, now you've got him behind Odunze and DJ and Komet and Loveland and Olamide Zaccheaus, who had over 500 receiving yards last year, who's a accomplished slot receiver in the NFL. And DeAndre Swift. And, we can sit there and criticize Swift not hitting the hole on time, and that's all legitimate, but he's a pass-catching weapon, too. And how Luther is going to handle that, how Luther is going to use that to challenge himself, and how he's going to be able to cope with that, I think is going to go a long way to determining whether he's a success in the NFL.
The one thing I would say the Bears have going in their favor, the whatever the weapons are, and Ben Johnson's already, no block, no rock, that kind of thing. He's doing the carrot and the stick thing. The fact that these guys are so good in open space would lead to quick throws, would minimize whatever shortcomings you have on the offensive line. I think if they can get Caleb Williams to make a quick decision, that will go a long way towards freeing these guys and limiting the pain that he suffers. From what you saw, how likely is Caleb Williams to be able to develop that habit?
I hope likely. I think in college, the knock on him, especially his last season at USC, was that he was just trying to do too much all the time. And in the NFL, you can't do that. My hope and my belief is that Caleb learned that last season. When you're sacked the third most times of anybody in the history of the sport, that's probably a lesson that you have to learn. Yeah. And he is self-aware enough and bright enough and savvy enough, I think, to know that. So, you're right. The idea of getting the ball out of your hands and getting it, to all of these weapons and not getting put on your butt is a really important part of this offense that they're going to develop. Now, that doesn't mean that having a left tackle is any less important, but I think there are different ways to skin a cat, and I think that Ben Johnson is certainly creative enough to find a way to get the ball out of his hands quick.
Well, I would like to see that. I think we all would like to see that. Give you something different to write. Patrick, thank you for jamming in this interview before you went about your Saturday. Thank you very much.
I'm coaching a little league team, and we're undefeated, and we play at noon. So thank you for cramming me in before it starts.
Okay, no, you go. You get your signal straight and make sure they have the right treat parent waiting.
Yeah, post-game snacks are huge. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, Patrick. Patrick Finley, Chicago Sun-Times, talking Bears football. Take a break when we come back. I got more thoughts on, the Bears have had their draft in 2025, so who are they going to draft in 2026? Dane Brugler told you. I'm Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckage. Thank you for joining me. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers.
Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm, I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
So with the 10th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Colston Loveland, tight end, Michigan.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score. Here's your host, Steve Rosenblum.
That was Commissioner Roger Goodell announcing the Bears pick in Wisconsin. So they're booing the Michigan guy chosen by the Chicago team in Wisconsin. Wonderful. People keep asking after this, I get this question, why are they booing the commissioner? Why does everybody boo him? Well, he's the commissioner and he hates your team. That's why. So that was the Bears draft this year. That was the Bears first round. So what are they going to do next year? Dane Brugler will tell you, the man who writes The Beast for The Athletic is already out with next year's first round. 2026, the Bears will draft Reuben Bain, a junior edge from Miami. Dane Brugler says Bain burst onto the scene as a true freshman 2 years ago for the Hurricanes and should again be among the ACC's top defensive players in 2025 if he stays healthy. Dane Brugler has the Bears drafting 17th. Okay. So he's predicted the order they're going to draft, but not their records. But for reference, Brugler has the Bears drafting where the Bengals did this year. The Bengals were 9-8. They did not make the playoffs. Is that acceptable in the first year of Ben Johnson? 9-8? The Bears are 5-12 last year without a head coach, right? So we're talking 3 wins better with what we're told is a better offensive line, better offensive weapons, and certainly a better coach. Is 3 wins enough? Wouldn't that be disappointing? 3 or 4 wins, I'm sorry. So you get from 5-12 to 9-8, but no playoffs. Is no playoffs acceptable? Or is that the Bears' ceiling, because offensive line is still an issue in more than you think. It's not just Braxton Jones and his owie. This, I said this before when I had Patrick Finley on, this looked like last year's draft. The Bears needed someone's to block for the quarterback. But the guy making the picks became hypnotized by the pretty shiny thing that catches the ball. But pretty shiny things don't catch much when the quarterback's on his ass. Last year, the Bears damn near set an NFL record for allowing its quarterback to be murdered. That's a factor. That's still a factor. Does Caleb Williams have PTSD? How much worse are his habits? How much more difficult will Ben Johnson's job be to change that stuff? Obviously, stuff went wrong. Holding on to the ball too long, trying to make stuff happen, the decision-making, the body working, all of that. So the new offensive line, a new left guard, new center, new right guard, they've never played together, not here, not anywhere. The left tackle isn't healthy. There's a left tackle who was drafted in the second round. The right tackle is good. Not that the left guard isn't good. He's a pro. He's a hero. He's got rings, right? Joe Tooney. The center was part of Bijan Robinson's success running between the tackles in Atlanta. The right guard, he was hurt and benched after he got healthy and came back. And the backup at right guard is somebody Ryan Poles coveted, and we don't know why. Ozzie Trapillo, all 6'8", 316 pounds of him, is he a left tackle or a right tackle? He played right tackle in college, hasn't played left tackle for a couple years. And if he's a right tackle, does Darnell Wright become the left tackle? If that's the scenario, the Bears are going to make two positions worse instead of just one. That's bad football management. If Wright stays at right tackle, Trapillo plays left tackle, then you've got a line where these five haven't played together. Better hurry it up. It's gone from X's and O's to uh-ohs because there's no continuity. They may have better players. The offensive line, as many coaches will tell you, is a Rockets kick line itself. It's a unit within a unit. Luther Burden might be fast. Great. He might rack up yak. Colston Loveland, matchup nightmare. You heard Patrick Finley talk about that. He's your slot receiver. No matter what they call Luther Burden, no matter who they have there. And DJ Moore might be one of the top receivers in the league. Roma Dunze, he might be really good. But again, I was sitting there watching the Patriots have the Bears draft. And the Bears not trading up to make sure they got a left tackle and that was what they needed. And then taking the weapon before you could protect the quarterback well enough, or certainly to my satisfaction. This looks like last year's Ryan Poles' work early last year when it was Ben Johnson influenced this year. Not knowing how drafting a pre-injured first rounder will work, or any of the others, the one salvation is Ryan Poles got out of the third round. He's not there. He wasn't there to make any kind of third round choice. I think that's a victory. That shows progress in the Bears personnel offices. So that's my thoughts. And you know what I'm going to do next hour? I'm going to bring you a guy who's much smarter than me, Mark Grody. But more important than that, I'll bring you something from Eric DaCosta, much smarter, who will just blow up everything I said about the Bears trading up to get that player that they need. We'll have Eric and his words do that next hour. Take a break now and come back. Your local basketball team in the playoffs. No, it's not Arturis Karnishevas' team. But you get these feelings of like this should be your team, Chicago. Tell you who that is and why. We'll take a break. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Thompson digging in defensively, 8 seconds. Brunson stops on a dime, launches. Oh yeah! Jalen Brunson buries it. Knicks lead by three. The Brunson burner ignited.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score. Here's your host, Steve Rosenblum.
Bang, bang! There's your Chicago team. Bulls fans, that's your Chicago, that's your playoff team, Chicago. The New York Knicks. You may hate it, but you have to love it. A couple striking stats I want to share with you as the NBA playoffs proceeded. Jalen Brunson, who you just heard there. Last year, 41 points and 12 assists in Philadelphia. In Philadelphia to eliminate the 76ers. So this week, 2025, 40 points. You just heard 38, 39, 40. And 7 assists in Detroit to eliminate the Pistons. The only other NBA player to have 40 or more points and 5 or more assists in a road closeout win twice in his career is, yes, you guessed it, Michael Jordan. Jalen Brunson, Michael Jordan. Jalen Brunson went to Stevenson, Michael Jordan. Jordan did it three times in his career, 1989 against the Cavs, 92 against the Heat, and 96 against the Magic. He loved doing that against the Magic because 95 was, he came back, and Dick Anderson's his age, 23 ain't like 45, or 45 ain't like 23, and he went up to 23, and he got fined by the NBA, the Bulls got fined by the NBA, and 23 didn't go anywhere that year. But next year, well, he was going to let you know. And now something else. As noted by Mark Potash, formerly of the Sun-Times, now at markpotash.net. Go there, read it. Potsy's wonderful. We hope to have him on. Maybe we can do that next week. Sean, can we do that? Get Potsy on?
Of course. Potsy's always welcome.
The Knicks series win over the Pistons prompted Potsy to post this. Tom Thibodeau's series wins since the Bulls ran him out of town and crapped all over him on the way out, starting with Chairman Reinsdorf. Three series wins, Tom Thibodeau. The Bulls series wins. We're talking playoffs. Playoff series wins since running Tom Thibodeau out of town and crapping all over him, starting with Chairman Reinsdorf. Zero. That would be zero playoff series wins. Thank goodness, family Reinsdorf sticking with the prince of the play-in, Arturis Karnishevas.
Good grief.
Should we ask who the worst owner in Chicago is? Or is that over? Is that over in a route? Is it already done?
Which one of them owns multiple?
See, that's the next question, because then you go from worst owner in the city, which is, you know, local civic debate. Would this be the worst owner in the nation? Because you bring up multiple. Let's ask this. Is there a worse owner in the nation? Because it's multiple teams, somebody with two or more teams, there are several owners around, several guys who own two franchises. Okay, Dick Monfort, is that the owner of the Rockies? They've got a shot to upset Chairman Reinsdorf's 121 loss team. A record like that deserves to stand a lot longer than one Colorado Rockies season. But right, but they could be there.
They're there. I mean, the Fishers, who own the Athletics, who are in Sacramento, but not the Sacramento Athletics.
No, but they've got a better record than the White Sox do.
They do have a better record than the White Sox.
And they're going to get a new stadium, allegedly, in Las Vegas. We don't know what the White Sox are going to get besides beat often. But if you look at the ownership, somebody who owns multiple teams, you know, Josh Harris owns the Washington Commanders of Philadelphia, right? They've been competitive. Washington Commanders, do you realize how they benefited from Bears' mistakes, malfeasance, choices, or anything like that with the quarterback the Bears didn't take, the coach the Bears didn't choose because they wanted Matt Eberflus, and the offensive coordinator they couldn't even get and keep in the building, Cliff Kingsbury, right? Shane Waldron, Matt Eberflus, and Caleb Williams. So Josh Harris owns with an assist. Magic Johnson's there somehow. But anyways, he owns a couple teams. The Crankies own a couple teams. The Avalanche, they're playing Game 7. I mentioned that earlier. Is there an owner of two franchises with the two worst general managers? Wouldn't they be the worst? Chris Getz and Arturis Karnishevas? Are they worse than Kyle Davidson? Are both of them worse than Kyle Davidson?
Probably not, right?
No? Kyle Davidson's worse than them?
No, I'm saying they're not. No, yeah, I guess. No, Kyle Davidson's not as bad as them.
Well, Kyle Davidson said, brought in a bunch of older guys, made the Blackhawks old in hopes of expecting Connor Bedard to get into the playoffs. And how'd that work out for you? Second overall pick and then second overall lottery odds, right? Maybe some of the young guys are coming. If you watch Jay Zawoski on CHSN and CHGO, I'm sorry, and Jay knows what he's talking about, and Jay's really excited about this young talent. But they're just suspects until they become real players. And they've shown some of those signs. But has Kyle Davidson shown that he can choose a coach who can get them there, choose coaches who can develop them? And Arturis Karnishevas has given you 5 years of proof he can't pivot. He can't adapt. Look at his highest draft pick. And then he wasted $90 million more on Patrick Williams. How does this guy keep a job? How? I don't know. The prince of the play-in. Now, I know the ownership has a lot to do with it. NBA, I guess Michael Reinsdorf needs the playoff money or fake playoff money or play-in money, whatever they get. They needed that. They didn't get it. They keep running into Miami Heat. Heat culture is better than the prince of play-in. And the man doesn't adapt. I've said before, he's Lithuanian for Bob Pulford. He just sees nothing going on that needs changing. They played a faster brand of basketball this year, and still, they're a playing team.
This is a lot better of a conversation, like, because it's so obvious, right, to pick the White Sox, right, or pick the Reinsdorf. But it's like you said, the Blackhawks. There's a case to be made for the Bears, the Cubs. Like, this is a lot more compelling of a conversation I thought it would be.
I know. I just thought I'd bring that up. But is there a worse owner, a guy who's done it in two different fronts? See, that would make a worse owner. You could take one guy and run his franchise into the ground, and he did that with the White Sox last year. But now there's also the Bulls, who refuse to recognize what modern NBA look like, and once they did, they proved to be no better at it. And their record was no better, their standing was no better. So that's really quality bad ownership. That's a family accomplishment. They're the Corleones of crap, right? They're right up there with that. All right, I don't know. Send in your thoughts. Is there an owner of multiple teams, of multiple franchises, has two worst GMs in the way this thing plays out? We will take a break. I will take a break. I'm stop using the editorial we. I will take a break and come back and talk Bears with our Bears man, Mark Grody. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage. Mark Grody, co-founder of Saturday Suckage, co-founder of the Wake and Bake Club. We are going to have some WB Club news later on. So I will talk to Grody after this. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long!
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.